Father, you tell us that you draw us to yourself as we gather. By your Spirit, help us to hear you well and to see what a privilege it is to be with you. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So why bother with church? That's the question we're focusing on at the moment. And especially, why bother with coming along to our Sunday services? Why is it such a concern when we can't do that, when we don't do that, when we won't do that, maybe? Last week we looked at Romans 12, you'll remember if you were here, and we saw one very compelling reason, which is that gathering together Sunday by Sunday is just a brilliant expression of who the Bible says we are if we're trusting the Lord Jesus. We're members of one body. Can you remember? Joined together, belonging to one another. That's a really powerful phrase. Under Jesus Christ our Lord. And that is fantastically expressed when week by week, no matter what else is going on in our lives, here we are. Well, today we're going to look at another reason why coming along on Sundays is such a big deal. And this one is focused on who we get to meet when we're here. Who do we get to meet with when we turn up at church? Be it 10 a.m. on a Sunday morning, 6 p.m. on Sunday evening, who do we get to meet? Imagine you get home afterwards and someone says, oh, do you meet anyone particular this morning, this evening? Anyone interesting? How would you answer? Who would you say? You might mention the person who said hello to you at the door, the person who sat near you in the pew, the person, I don't know, if you come along in the morning in normal times that you squeezed into the village hall cupboard with for lasers. I miss all kinds of things about normal church at the moment, but not that village hall cupboard, I have to say. You might mention someone you particularly chatted with over coffee afterwards. At the moment, you might be tempted to say, well, no one really. In this strange COVID era that we're in, where any personal, direct personal interaction with others is limited to just a few snatched words as we head back to our cars afterwards. That really is one of the things that's made church hard for so many people, isn't it? That sense of just not connecting with anyone when we come along at the moment. And so it may just be that what we're going to see this evening will come as a bit of a surprise to some of us. Hopefully it will come as a lovely surprise, even if it does come as a surprise. Who does God say we meet with when we come along here? Not just one another, although that is really important, and we are going to focus in on that in a couple of weeks' time. But God says, gather with his people on Sundays, and in a very special, precious way, a completely unique way, we get to meet with him. Whoever else may or may not be here, whoever else we may or may not get to speak to, he says we meet with him. It's a brilliant thought, isn't it? Even if we turn up and it feels like others barely even notice we've made it. The Bible says there is someone who is so glad to see us and promises to draw near to us in wonderful ways. And that's God himself. Back to our reading, Hebrews 12. Look again at the gathering that is described in that second paragraph, verses 22 to 24. You Christians, you've not come to Mount Sinai, Hebrews is saying. That was the message of the previous paragraph, the first one in the reading. You're not part of that great gathering of God's people. You can read about it in Exodus 19 later on if you want to, at the mountain where God gave them the law. You've missed that one, I'm afraid it's saying. But don't worry. Or think for a moment that you've missed out because, well, look what it says. You are part of something far, far greater still. Verse 22, you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. You've come to heaven, it's saying. It's a strange way of speaking, isn't it? Not you will come to heaven, but you have come to heaven. We'll get back to that. But before we do, just notice who else is there. Thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, end of verse 22. Can you imagine them just sort of lined up in their ranks as far back as your eyes can see? You come to the church of the firstborn, verse 23 says. So all God's people, the billions of people who belong to the Lord Jesus, whose names are written in heaven, you've come to them. That's extraordinary, isn't it? But read on, we realise that was just a warm-up act, really. Because now see who else is there. You have come to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. There at the heart of this heavenly gathering is God himself. And the Lord Jesus, who shed blood, cries out, not for vengeance like murdered Abel's blood did in Genesis 4, but cries out for forgiveness for every single person who trusts him. There are so many gatherings around the world that we might long to be a part of, aren't there, in normal times at least. You see the footage of them on the news sometimes. You see the photos people post on Instagram and just wish you could be there. The premieres, maybe, and the wedding celebrations, the cabinet meetings, maybe, the concerts, the family reunions, the sports teams, the parties. But what about this one? This is saying. Because this gathering in Hebrews, it is just extraordinary, isn't it? How do you get in there? We're meant to be asking. Well, don't panic. You already are, the verses say. Notice, you have come to it. You're in, it says, and we look around ourselves in slight bemusement, don't we, really? Like, why? How? Because it doesn't feel like it. It doesn't look like it. How did we get in here? Well, two ways, I think. First, by coming to follow the Lord Jesus. He's the one Hebrews is really all about. The big message of the whole book of Hebrews is you've come to Jesus. Now, never, ever, ever drift from him. But secondly, not just by coming to Jesus, but by coming to church. You see, I think there are good reasons to see verses 22 to 24, not just as a lovely description of what it is to be a Christian, but as a mind-blowing description of what it is to come along to church. The clues in the book of Hebrews itself, not least the fact that, as we'll see in a couple of weeks, this passage we're looking at today follows hot on the heels of a very clear command not to give up meeting together at church. There's also the fact that, you know what the book of Hebrews is? It's slightly unique in the New Testament, the book of Hebrews. It's not a letter, really. It describes itself as a sermon, a word of exhortation, it calls itself as it signs off right at the end. It's a sermon preached to gathered Christians, just a bit like I'm preaching to gathered members of God's people right now. You've come not just to follow Jesus, but to church, I think verses 22 to 24 are saying. And in doing that, you have come to heaven itself. And therefore, you've come to God. There is just one heading today. It's on that handout in bold, just so you can't miss it. Along with the other Bible verses we're going to glance at in the next few moments too. Here's the heading. God is everywhere, but particularly meets us when we gather with his people on Sundays. I'll say it again because it is a mouthful. God is everywhere, but he particularly meets us when we gather with his people on Sundays. Is God everywhere? Yeah, there's no question about that. Psalm 139, it's on the handout too. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? David prays. And then he answers his own question in the verses that follow. I just can't get away from you, Lord, he says. It doesn't matter where I go, you're there too. And yet at exactly the same time, all the way through the Bible, there's this big ongoing theme of the Lord gathering his people physically together so that he can meet particularly with them in those moments. In the Old Testament, so much of that was focused on the tabernacle, the temple, the tent, the building in which God said he especially dwelt with his people. Now imagine you bumped into an Old Testament believer. Thousands of years ago, they're heading to the temple in Jerusalem for one of the big religious festivals God said that they were supposed to go and take part in. Or imagine you bumped into the high priest on that one day in the year, the Day of Atonement, when he got to go into the Holy of Holies, the space right at the heart of the temple where God said he was especially present. And you bumped into them and you heard where they were going and you said something like that. Well, I know God is there, yeah, but he is everywhere. You do realise, don't you? They would have looked at you in absolute horror. Like, of course we know God is everywhere, they'd have said. We've read Psalm 139 too, but haven't you read as well? He says he's especially present there, and that is why I'm so excited to go there. Now, did all that stop when Jesus came? That idea of God especially drawing near to his people on certain occasions, does all that stop after Jesus? Well, no, the Bible says, because so much of what was true in and around the temple, we're told, is true of the church as well. That's Peter's point in 1 Peter 2. Again, it's on the handout there. Do you notice how he describes the church there in temple language? Every single person who comes to Jesus, do you see what Peter says they are? They're stones being built into a spiritual house. Spiritual house, that's temple language. What was true in the temple, true in the church, he's saying. And true in every local gathering of God's church, right around the world, wherever Christians gather. It's true there too. Not because there's anything special about the particular places where Christians gather. You can turn up at Barkham Church any time in the week in normal times. You can't do it at the moment because we lock the door apart from our services on Sunday at the moment. But you can turn up and you won't be any closer to God in that moment than you would be anywhere else you might be during the course of your week. There's no special presence of God permanently tied to this building or any other building anymore, he says. It's not like he's particularly up there behind that rail like we could sometimes think. It's not about specific places anymore. It's about his people coming together in his name, maybe in churchy buildings like this, maybe in school halls like Christchurch Wokingham, maybe in community centres like Church at the Green, in private homes in some places, in some bits of the world, just under a tree, wherever they can find shelter and shade. When God's people gather, God says, he draws especially near. When we gather physically, that's important for us to see. Because that is always the Bible's focus. It is always on the physical gathering of God's people. And not just because the Bible was written before anyone had ever thought of pre-recorded services or dreamt of Zoom or anything like that, but because our physicality, these bodies that we have, our ability to actually turn up in the same place as one another, is so much part of who God has made us to be. We must never downplay the fact that God says we all are our bodies as much as we are our souls. That's a really big deal. Deep down, we know that, don't we? So remember Christmas just gone, what it was like? Just the phone calls and the Zoom calls that we had to make do with instead of actually seeing precious members of our family like we'd hoped to do. How rubbish it was compared to actually being with them. We know that virtual meetings just... they're not anywhere near the same when it comes to friends and family, don't we? So let's not fall for the idea that virtual meetings are just as good as physically gathering when it comes to the kinds of things that we're thinking about this evening. God says he's given us bodies in which, unless there's a good reason why we can't, he expects us, he calls us to come together week by week. Because when we do, he says, we meet not just with one another, we meet with him. Not just Hebrews 12 that talks about that. There are other bits in the New Testament too. So Matthew 18. Do you remember the passage where Jesus talks about what we're supposed to do, particularly if another Christian sins against us? The steps we're supposed to go through to try to resolve it. With this great promise, verses 19 and 20, to encourage us when we have to deal with such difficult things. Look what he says. Again, truly I tell you, if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three gather in my name, there am I with them, he says. There am I with them, says Jesus. Especially present, not when we just happen to bump into another Christian in Costa and we sit down and have a coffee with them for half an hour, but when we meet in his name, which is what we're doing now. Or 1 Corinthians 14, Paul talking about what would happen sometimes in his day when someone who wasn't yet a Christian turned up at church one day. Look what he says. If an unbeliever or an inquirer comes in while everyone is prophesying, they are convicted of sin and are brought under judgment by all as the secrets of their hearts are laid bare. So they will fall down and worship God, exclaiming, God is really among you. What are Christians meant to do in that moment? when that unbeliever falls down like that? Are they meant to go, no, no, sorry, you've got completely the wrong idea. He's not here any more than he is anywhere else in life. They weren't meant to rejoice in that moment. God has helped them to see the truth. It's brilliant. God really is there, just like he's among his gathered people today. So you're coming along to church on Sunday. Or maybe really looking forward to the day when it's safe to do that again if you're not able to be here at the moment. Why are you so excited about it, someone says? Why bother? I want to meet with God, you say. And if they say anything in that moment about actually it not being that big a deal, because after all, God is everywhere, we'll look at them in horror. Like kind horror, okay? But horror. Haven't you read, we'll say. Of course he's everywhere. We know he's everywhere. But haven't you read, he says, he especially draws near his people when they gather together on his day. Come to church, you've come to heaven, says Hebrews 12. And it is quite a thought, isn't it? It's an amazing thought, actually, in a world that can often feel like quite a difficult place and a dangerous place where so often we feel a bit out of place. We feel like we're not very welcome, like we don't really belong. And then once a week or twice, maybe in normal times, if we come along morning and evening, here we gather. Picture it really, can't you? We come up that path outside and we turn that corner and in through the door and we sanitize our hands and we get ticked off by the person who welcomes us in and we find a seat. And the service begins. And Hebrews says, without us being able to see it or feel it even, it's a bit like the roof above us gets moved away. In fact, everything that stands between us and heaven gets just moved away. And for that precious hour or so, there we find ourselves in an outpost of heaven itself, meeting not just the people sat alongside us, although that is brilliant, meeting not just with angels and with every other Christian who has gone to heaven ahead of us, but wonder of wonders, meeting with God himself and the Lord Jesus as they draw us especially close to them. He's everywhere, but he says he particularly meets us when we gather as his people on Sundays. Now, next week, we're going to think more about some of the differences, the big differences that should make. But very quickly as we finish, and I promise this is going to be really quick, just five immediate differences, perhaps, that this should make to how we think about coming along on Sundays. First, unless there is a very, very good reason, we will make sure we're here, won't we? You get an invitation to Buckingham Palace to meet the Queen. What do? You look in your diary, and at that point, it doesn't really matter what else is in your diary. There's hardly anything else that could be in your diary that you will keep in your diary. You will block it out, and you will get along, and you will meet the Queen. Why is this that different? When God invites us, stronger than that, I think, he calls us, he commands us to come and meet with him week by week. What could possibly matter more than that? Second, if we do have a good reason to stay away, and just to be really clear, we do think there are plenty who have a really good reason to stay away in these COVID times. We won't be able to wait for the day that we can get back, will we? It'll be agony staying away and missing out, listening in online, doing the Zoom coffees. We're thankful for them all. We really are. But they're nowhere near the same as actually physically gathering with God's people and therefore being with him. So roll on those vaccines, Lord, we will pray, because we will not stay away from here a week longer than we need to. Third, when we do come along, and can I just reassure you that today I didn't meet anyone at the door. I deliberately stayed around the corner because I didn't want to see when people turned up, because I don't want you to think I'm aiming this at anyone in particular, because I'm really not. But when we come, if we can, we will be on time, won't we? Get that invitation to Buckingham Palace. Would you dream of strolling in 5 minutes late as if it didn't matter for your meeting with the Queen? Not at all. Of course, if it's no option but to turn up late, then of course we'll turn up late. The Lord longs to see us. Far better to come in a bit late than to miss out entirely. But we'll do everything we can to be here on time. Fourth, if this is where we meet God, I wonder whether we might be quicker to invite others along too. It's very easy, isn't it, to think of people we know who are not yet Christians and just think there's no way they'd ever want to come to a church service, and maybe many of them never would, but it's amazing actually in experience how often when they do find their way here, they love sticking around. But where better to invite others than to the place God himself has promised he will be? Wouldn't it be amazing to see something like that 1 Corinthians 14 thing happening with some of them? And then fifth, of course, we won't just turn up, will we? But we will turn up with very high expectations. We're not just meeting with a bunch of other ordinary people like ourselves. We meet with God himself. And it is amazing the kinds of things that happen when he's around. Think of Isaiah in those verses we started the service with today. So completely undone and then in God's kindness remade when he met with God in the temple. Who knows what the Lord might choose to do in us and among us as together we gather here. But we'll think more about those things next week. For now, let's pray. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, we are so sorry about all those times when we think of coming along to church as if it's just a light, insignificant thing, maybe even sometimes an unwelcome thing. And we thank you so much for the blessing that it is for us to gather, not just with one another, but with you too. And we pray that you would help us to see what a privilege that is and to treasure this more. And we do pray especially now for those dear brothers and sisters in our church family who just can't come along to church at the moment. Please keep them going and hasten the day when they can safely return. And we pray as well for other Christians in other parts of the world who also just cannot come together in the way that we're doing now. Please, would you sustain and comfort them and one day make that possible for them as well? We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.